we are going to be looking at a passage of scripture this morning in the Old Testament, and in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, we'd like to encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and we'll have one. There's somebody in the Bible over here. And we encourage you to bring your Bible to church, because you may want to write something in it on the margin or somewhere for your own benefit. And that's a good idea to do that. And so, if you don't have a Bible, like I said, we'll get you one. And if you know of someone that doesn't have a Bible, we would also be willing to get a Bible to those individuals. We are in a series called The Adventurous Life. And Pastor Don, in the last couple of few messages, he has challenged us, encouraged us in that direction, and how what we will find out in this venture as we walk with him, as we talk with him. And we thank him for the words of inspiration that he has imparted to us. But when we go on a venture, we are not sure of what we are going to discover. But at least we are willing and ready to incur that risk. Now, here is the difference between the risk as God's children and the people in the world who take that risk. We have the assurance on God's word that He is going to be with us. He would lead us. He will guide us. He will protect us. He will be there all the way with us. And that's the promise we have. Over against the people in the world, they are not sure of what's going to happen, but we have that assurance as God's children. And so that's a plus for all of us. Now, are we going to like everything that we discover in this venture? No. Is everything going to be pleasing to us? No. As a matter of fact, you may end up with more problems than you bargained for because of what you discover, at least according to your perception of what you discover. And but here is the thing. The problem is not in what we discover. The problem is, are we willing to apply to our lives what we have discovered? Are we willing to say yes to God that I did not see this before, but because of this venture that you have allowed me to be on, I discover this and I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Are we willing to bring our lives in subjection to God because of what we have discovered? And that's where the issue is at. Today, our focus is going to be on prayer, spending time with God. Not just to get there and give him our to-do list and then walk away. But then he will say, hey, wait a minute. I want to talk to you for a little bit. Can we just talk? Can we just spend a few time minutes together instead of just giving? And so we want to look at that this morning and to spend special quality time with him. Now, this matter of prayer is going to be a different ball game for many. Okay, ball game. As a result, you are going to score more home run upon home run upon home run. Amen. If we venture with God in this prayer life that we are on. And God wants to be with us. In this venture, you are going to discover some things about God that you have not seen before. You are going to discover some things about yourself that you have not seen before. What about some of those areas that you tucked in the corner somewhere in your life, and God is saying, hey, what about that? What about this? God is going to show that to us. Now, here are a few things I want you to consider before we go any deeper into this. How often should we pray? Prayer is an essential element in the Christian life, and it should be employed as an everyday commodity for us. Not just in crisis moment or when the ship is going down. Or we say, Lord, if you get me out of this time, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And then how many times we have said that in the past. God, if you just only get me out this one time. I came up with this number, and I'll explain to you how I do that. How often should we pray? Maybe about 7 to 10 times a day, for the least. And I will show you why. In the morning when we get up, we could say, good morning, Lord. Or we could say, good Lord, it's morning.
Yeah.
We eat our breakfast, and we say a prayer. Some people have the devotion in the morning hours, or whenever you do that, and you also pray. Sometime between that and lunchtime, you may find a time to pray as well. And then at lunchtime, you pray. I hope you pray for your lunch. A lot of people eat lunch and you pray. Somewhere in between that, you may pray a prayer, or you may God may bring someone to mind, or family, and you pray. At supper time, you also pray, and then before you go to bed, you pray and you ask the Lord. So that's just to give you a picture of how often. And some people, their personal devotional time with God is when they also pray and ask God to lead them. Jack Hayford once said that he will not rise up unless he pray. And what basically he is saying, you are sitting in church today, and before you rise up, or before he rises up, he will pray. If he is around the dining room table, before he rises up, he will pray. If he is driving in a car, before he gets up, he prays before he started the journey, but he also prays. And so that gives us an idea. This is something that if we want that type of a lifestyle, we are going to have to develop that lifestyle. And they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. And so practicing that and seeing what that does for you, how that feels. What happens when we pray? We touch the throne of God when we pray. We get God's attention when we pray. We put something in God's hand when we pray. And just imagine that when you pray, you put something in God's hand, whatever that is, and God is looking at it, and he's going to do something with what you just put in his hand. So put some, your job, our job is to put something in God's hand. What should we pray for? Everyone, everything, ourself, our family, our father, mother, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncle, friends. We should be praying for everyone, for our pastors, for the church, for the leadership, for the ministry. We need to be praying for all of those things and asking God to have his way. How long should we pray for? This varies with different individuals. We could pray for like 5 minutes at a time, maybe 10, 15 minutes or longer. But however God leads you, I know some people, and you can identify with this, and we start to pray, and then before long, our minds start wandering in different things and different direction. And you said, hey, what's happening here? And bring yourself back together. And you can do that in short period of time. So before we go any further, there is a video I would like for you guys to look at. Thank you. Interesting, isn't it? The average Christian spend less than 5 minutes with the Word of God. Less than 5 minutes. The passage of Scripture we'll be looking at this morning is found in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8 to 16. And prayer brings victory, and with that will be the main focus. You know, Jesus is our supreme example of prayer. Many parts of the gospel, Jesus, it says, rising early in the morning, he went by the mountainside, maybe one of his favorite spots, and he spent time with his Father, pray. The children of Israel had just crossed over the Red Sea. And now they are in the desert of Shur, 3 days. And then they came to Marah. In fact, before that, there was no water. They came to Marah. They found water, but it was bitter. And Moses cried out to God on the situation. Folks, he didn't just pray, but he cried out. Can you imagine his heart going out to and for the people to God? He cried out to God, and God directed Moses, and he says, Moses, you see that piece of wood over there? He said, yes. He said, I want you to take that piece of wood and put it in the water. Now, I mean, Moses could have said, what does that have to do with the men are thirsty, they're dying of thirst, but it was obedience. That looked stupid to us, and it looked out of the ordinary. Well, who says that God does things in the ordinary? You know, he's God. And Moses said, okay, I'm going to pick up that piece of wood and I'll put it in the water. And he did. And the water became drinkable when it was not before. And then they traveled to the desert of Sin, and they complained again, we have no food. God provided manna and quail and bread. And then they traveled to refer them, and they were thirsty. At this time, the people were ready to kill Moses. The Bible says that they were ready to stone him. And Moses cried out to God and said, God, please help in this situation. And God says, I want you to go a little further to Horeb. And I want you to take your staff and I want you to strike that rock. Here again, Moses said, I mean, we need water. That's a rock. And many times we do the same thing. God asks us to do something, and we question him. And we says, why? But God says, I want you to take that rock, and I want you to strike that rock. And he did, and water came out. And they drank. You know, so much of our Christian life and this venture has to do with our obedience to God. And so, let's look at this morning. Prayer is needed when the enemy attack. Prayer is needed when the enemy attack. And in Exodus 17 and verse 8, it says this. And my translation might be a little bit different from what you see. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. The enemy may surprise you. You know, some surprises are good. Some surprises are not so good. Anybody like surprises? You know, it's okay to have a surprise birthday party or a surprise occasion or some type of gathering, and all of that is fine. You know, a family visiting, friend coming that you have not seen for so long. But the Israelites were not thinking and not preparing that there was going to be an attack from the enemy. They were tired, they were weary, they were thirsty, to the point where they were about to faint, and they were ready to hunker down and have a good night's rest, whatever time that was. But the enemy came to them when they were most vulnerable, when they were weak, when they were weary, when things were not going well, and the enemy came in their weakest moment. And you know, folks, that's the time when Satan is going to come to us, yeah. When we are most vulnerable, okay, when we are weak, when we are having stressful times, when something is happening in our lives, and Satan sees a little entryway where he can come in, we are going to have to close those areas and those entryways so he cannot get in and penetrate to us. Let me tell you a little bit about the Amalekites. They were the descendants of a grandson named Amalek. And they were fierce, a fierce tribe. They live in the desert of the Dead Sea, and they kill for pleasure. They made part of their living by conducting raids on communities and villages and carrying away their goods. One of the greatest insults in the Israel's culture was to call someone a friend of the Amalek. One of the greatest insults because of those people. When the Israelites entered the region, they came in, the Amalekites saw this as a perfect opportunity for both pleasure and profit. But this hostile group was moving on the wrong crowd, the wrong group. They were about to find out that you do not mess with God's children, you do not mess with the people that belong to God. And because they disregarded God, and God brought judgment upon them. But folks, I want you to listen to this. For the Israelite slaves to defeat such a warlike tribe or nation was more than enough proof that God was with them as He promised to be. And that promise holds true for us today as His children, that He will always be there for us. The enemy may surprise you, but God is not taken by surprise. God is not taken by surprise. God knows everything. Every single thing. He knew that the Amalekites were going to attack. God knew that Joshua and the army of Israel will defeat the enemy. How well do we know our God? And we need to ask ourselves, how well do we know our God? And folks, if there is any inclination in your heart that, you know what, to be honest, I don't know God as well as I would like to, so therefore, let's get on this venture of prayer to find out more about God and more about ourselves. Does our relationship with God give us the assurance that God will never leave us nor forsake us? Or do we have doubts? I wonder if God is going to be here. I wonder if God is going to be with us. Prayer becomes powerful on the hill of God. In chapter 17 and verse 9 to 10, it reads thus. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with my staff, the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. A hilltop view gave us a better perspective of things. Have you noticed that? If you were on a hill, driving around, scenic road. We lived in St. Lucia for about 3 years. And we live on the hill. And in the daytime, you could look over the city of Castries. And you could see everything happening down there. Tourist ships coming in. And everything else, traffic moving. At night is beautiful. You look at all the lights, and you would look at them when the ship is leaving, the tourist ship going back out. It's like a moving city traveling out from the harbor. And it was really spectacular. But here is what I want you to know this morning. There is nothing magical or more powerful about being on a hill. And the scripture is not suggesting that we have to be on a hill for God to hear us. Although, hill does suggest where God lives, or one of the places. You remember Moses and the burning bush and his experience when he got the Ten Commandments? You remember David says, "I would lift up mine eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my help." We have often heard that God is looking down upon us, suggests that He is high and lifted up. But Moses posed on top of the hill so that he can see Israel. So that he can look down and he can see Joshua and the men, and how they were going to fight this battle against the Amalekites. He was watching them. But more powerful and beautiful was when Joshua and his men can look up and they see Moses. They see him with the staff. They see him as he's standing there, and he's like this, lifting up Joshua and the army as they're in battle, praying for them. Folks, there is nothing more encouraging when we know that our Christian brothers and sisters are praying for us. You know that when you're going through a difficult time, that your pastor or his family or members of the church, and that you know a mentor is praying, is lifting you up in prayer, and you are not alone. And that gives you strength and power to carry on. And so they look up and they saw Moses and they said, you know what? We are not in this thing alone. There is Moses up there. There is Aaron up there. And there is Hur up there, all looking out for us. Our hilltop view is not necessarily on a mountaintop or on a hill. But our hilltop view is our strategic place of prayer. That is, what is your role? Or where do you place yourself in trying circumstances in your life or in your family? Where do you place yourself when there is when there is trouble within the community or when there's problem within your family? What is your strategic place of prayer when you face crisis in life? That will be your hilltop experience. Some people maybe have a special place in your home. Maybe there's a room where they pray and spend time with God. Maybe there's a special place you like to go to drive around and stop, maybe at a park or somewhere. Where is your place? That is your special place of prayer. But figure out where that place is in your life. Prayer needs the support of others. Prayer needs the support of others. In verse 11 and 12, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hand up, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. Folks, the leader cannot do it all by himself. He needs help. And we are the ones who are here to help him, to help Pastor Don, to help in the ministry team and whatever ministry that there is. I would like Pastor Don to come and stand up here for, we're going to make him look like Moses, who represents leadership. And I have this little, see how we can, maybe somebody want to help me with this, to drape this over him. And okay, there you go. He's getting there. Okay, so we get him, and Pastor Don, I want you to lift your hand up. You know, have you ever tried this? Do you know how difficult it is to have both of your arms like this and go on? You can't do it for too long. So he's up on the hilltop. And by the way, he doesn't have to look to be on a hilltop. To be on a hilltop, he also looked like he's already on a hilltop. And so he's praying for Joshua and the army as long as he can do it. But then his arms start getting tired and starting to come down. Richard, would you come and let's see who else is here. Josh, you can do that. Aaron.
I'm down fighting, actually. Huh? Josh is down fighting.
Okay. Aaron and Hur. they noticed what was happening. Okay? And they decided that, you know what? Our job is to lift his hand up and to keep it up. And once his arms were up, the children, Joshua and the army, they were winning. And folks, that's why our leadership, that's why Pastor Don and myself and advisory team, the ministry, needs our prayer, need your prayer. If you are a leader today and you need the help, and those who are around you need to lift up your hand up. Lift him up in prayer and trust the Lord that he will be there with him. Leadership, of course, need the support of others. And that's what these guys are here for, to do that. And I want to let you know that prayer prevails and prayer brought victory to Joshua and the children of Israel. And that they defeated the enemy because, one, leadership was praying. Number two, he got the support of others there. And prayer brought victory to Moses and Aaron and Hur and Joshua and the army. And prayer can bring victory to us today just as well. Okay? Thank you, guys. Here is a challenge. Here is a challenge for you today. If 30 people would pray for 10 minutes a day, we will have 300 minutes per day going into prayer. If you times that by 7, we're going to have 2,100 minutes in a week. If you divide that by 60 minutes in an hour, we are going to have 35 hours per week in prayer. If we times that by 12 weeks, and the reason why I did that, I'm looking at October, November, and December. I realize that we are already in October, but we could make up for that. In 12 weeks, we would have 420 hours in prayer by December. Can you imagine what that will do for the ministry, for Hope Community Church, for people within the area that you are praying for? Can you imagine? Well, here is a greater challenge. What if we double that by praying 20 minutes in a day? We're going to have 840 hours in prayer by December. Are we willing to go on this venture in prayer and to see how important prayer is? Are we willing to give up that time, however God wants to use you, to pray not only for yourself, but your family, everyone who surrounds you, for the pastor, for his family, and for all the needs within the church? I don't know if this means would mean anything to you, but this past week we have made a commitment in our home, and of course Savita is instrumental for this, that we are going to, around 8:30 to 9 o'clock, we shut off the TV, no radio. And we just stay there and we talk and we pray for about half an hour. And folks, I can tell you, when you spend that time, it makes a lot of difference. Spend more time in prayer. I encourage you. God can change things. God can change the impossible. God can move you to the next level of your life. You will be amazed at what you will discover because of the time you spend with God. In a few moments of quiet meditation and prayer with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And are you willing to take up that challenge to pray for the ministry, for Pastor Don, and for leadership, for myself? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say to him that, hey, you can count on me, I'll be there to lift your hand up in prayer, you can count on me? Are you willing to do that? Is there anyone? We need to take a stand against the evil one, and by you lifting up your hand is doing that, that he needs to see that. We need to defeat the enemy. He needs to know that we are the children of God, and we are going to take a stand. No weapon formed against us shall stand.
Amen.
And you are willing to make that commitment. And God knows your heart, and God knows what your hand represents today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And we just pray now, O God, that you will continue to show us and help us that how much we need to spend more time with you in prayer, to know you better, and for us to discover who we are and where we are lacking. Thank you. Thank you for the commitment that was made this morning. And we ask, O God, that you would help us, that regardless of how busy we are or what may come our way, that we would never forget to pray.